You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
Okay, this is the MGB review of Nova Project 2 from the JCC in September 2017. This was the one-year anniversary show, so this was kind of a special one. I think they were kind of pleased they made it that far, and eventually they even made it to Nova Project 4. So I got confused when I first saw Nova Project 2. I thought it was the two-year anniversary. When we went to that Nova Project 3, I thought it was the three-year anniversary. I didn't realize it was like the... Well, I guess it's the third year, so it was the two-year anniversary. But anyway, this is also kind of an era, end of an era as well for MGB as well. Mason has his notes on the computer today for the first time instead of on paper. So you won't have to guess what's actually written down, so this should make this kind of interesting as well. Kind of a shame. Those are some of the highlights for me. Of course, you're not going to be able to do that when we actually go back to live events. Well, you could take a laptop, but I'm not going to recommend it. So we'll have to see how that works. So, all right, match one, John Kerman and The Reason. And The Reason is Hope Rockwell. Hype Rockwell. I could not remember Hype Rockwell's name. I knew we'd seen him again sometime. I actually had to ask John Kerman. I sent him a quick message. I was like, can you tell me who this person is? Because I just cannot remember who it is. And since we last recorded on this, we discovered that Adam Cole's first two matches in Ring of Honor were actually against John Kerman, which was a pretty cool fact. I remember seeing the picture, but I know we didn't talk about that on our Nova Pro reviews. All right, we've talked about these guys many times, so go ahead, Mason.
So The Reason gets his feet on the rope before one in the armbar, and John rolls through the powerbomb into an armbar. The Reason attempts the fall-away slam, but John turns it into an octopus stretch for the win.
Okay, I was going to say, you got to do something. Did he tap out? So he did tap out for that one. All right, let's move on quick. Match two, tag team match. It was Bo Crockett and Innocent Isaiah, Cutie and the Beast, versus the Bravado Brothers, which is Harlem Bravado and Lance Bravado. These were the people that you thought either grew 6 inches since a previous match or shrunk 6 inches from a previous match that you mentioned on a previous review. These guys, I think I mentioned on a previous one, they haven't wrestled since 2016, so there's nothing to update us on that. Except I did find some reviews for them, because I like to do that now on Cage Match. One of the reviews was 2 out of 10. A really bad performer, as well as his brother Harlem, so I'm guessing this is Lancelot. He was lucky to have the opportunity to wrestle for important companies. The fact that he is DG USA Open, the United Gate Champion, makes no sense in my opinion. Whereas, 10 out of 10, I followed Lancelot Bravado and his brother Harlem ever since I started watching independent wrestling, and before him and his brother just got cocky, goody-two-shoes, grandma-boy type personalities and could go out into that ring and put on a good tag team match. But now they've really shown that heel side to them more than ever, and they've become more arrogant and less cocky. And ever since they've left ROH and have gone to Japan at Pro Wrestling Noah and traveled all over the world, Lancelot and his brother have become much better and more badass in ring performers than they ever were before. I really love this new change in the Bravados. I think if you go to Ring of Honor, and I think if you're wrestling for Noah, I don't think you're going to be 2 out of 10. Can you imagine shipping somebody across from paying for all their airfares to Japan if you're only 2 out of 10? Now, this one I didn't share with you, Mason, but this really caught my attention. I really want to go see this match. I might actually sign up for Impact just for this. TNA World Tag Team title match from 2016. The Broken Hardys, so that would be Brother Nero and Matt Hardy, defeat the Helms Dynasty, Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee, and the Rock and Roll Express, and Decay, which is Abyss and Crazy Steve, and Rockstar Spud, teaming with Swoggle, some pretty big names here, right? And the Death Crew Council, somebody they didn't know on Cage Match, they put ? And James Storm, and the Bruiserweights, who was Corey Hollis and John Skyler. That's not what I thought it was going to be when I saw Bruiserweights. And Aaron Biggs and Mecha Mercenary, and Dirty Daddy and Snooty Fox, and Eric Royal and Mike Jordan, and the Ugly Ducklings, Lance Lude and Rob Killjoy, and the Bravado Brothers.
Oh.
Holy cow! There's some huge names in that one. I don't quite know how... it's a tag team Apocalypto. I'm not quite sure what that is exactly. I don't know if that's like a gauntlet thing, but out of those 10 teams, whew, They wasn't every single one of those. I was like, wow. I came across it because I was looking for the Bravado Brothers. I was looking for a cool match. But when I saw the Ugly Ducklings in there as well, I was like, whoa, I definitely want to see that one. I had one thing for the opening, but I might have stealing this from you. The intro music was Axel F, because you asked me who it was. But it wasn't the Crazy Frog version, which is the one that you like. And it wasn't the Harold Faltermeyer version, which is the one I like either. So I'm not quite sure who it was. I should have just Shazammed it, and that probably would have told me exactly who the singer was for that version. All right, go ahead. Tell us about match two.
I was rooting for Cutie and the Beast because they didn't mess up their song.
That's how much, and you actually said, you're like, wonder where my Crazy Frog disc went. I was like, I don't know. I'm like, hopefully in the trash. I hated that CD.
Isaiah pushes his hips back to get out of an arm lock, and Harlem says, I didn't like that. But Isaiah replies, I did. During Isaiah and Bo's dance break, the Bravados attack them from behind. Lancelot spins Isaiah, and Isaiah knocks down Bo and Harlem, and Isaiah kisses Lancelot on the mouth, and after Harlem kicks Isaiah off the ropes onto the outside, and Cutie and the Beast win and are still undefeated, which I'm so surprised. I thought they lost at least once.
Yeah, as a tag team. And like, we know Eric had an undefeated streak, but I didn't realize Cutie and the Beast did, so they made it through the first year as well. I don't think they wrestled as much as Eric did, but still very impressive as well. Then the part where you talked about, I don't like that, and he said, I did, that really reminded me of Effie. I'd not really made that sort of connection between those two characters, but it was very Effie-like in the way I saw it. Harlem actually was the one who was challenged to do the dance-off by Innocent Isaiah, and he was like, yeah, you don't want to see me, I can't dance at all. I was like, but we do want to see Bo dance. And Bo was like, shit, yeah. And then when he came in, of course, that's when all the fighting started, so we didn't actually get to see that happen at all, unfortunately. There were big Isaiah chants from the crowd. I did notice that. He was certainly well over again, but yeah, very popular face tag team at that point. Okay, match three, Bobby Shields with Marcus Dowling against Chet Sterling. Now, we've talked about those ones before because they've been in multiple Nova matches. Marcus Dowling, I hadn't seen before. In fact, when he first came out, I actually thought it was... Oh, and I can't remember
Stokely?
His name. Yeah, I thought it was Stokely Hathaway because I hadn't seen that type of manager figure before. The only thing I could find about Marcus Dowling is he has actually had 4 matches as a wrestler. Not many, but there's some important ones here and ones we've talked about before. So, 2010, he fought Mark Denny. For NWA Fusion. That's a pretty big one. That was in Virginia. 2012, he was in the Loser Wears a Diaper match. I remember talking about that one because I know Jay thought that was funny. Ryan Zane defeated Marcus Dowling for NWA Fusion. 2016 in January, Jefferson Early and Neil Sharkey defeat Marcus Dowling and the Mempho Mofo. Jefferson Early was on the last one I think we did, and Neil Sharkey we know from VCW as well. And the last one he's listed out is April 2016, a four-way. The Mempho Mofo defeats Jefferson Early and Marcus Dowling and Neil Sharkey, once again in Fusion Wrestling in Yorktown, Virginia. So he's had 4 matches. Also, this is kind of unusual for this one as well. This is the first time we've actually been able to watch an event on IWTV and it not keep cutting out. Like, every 15 minutes it cuts out. And it didn't for this one. In fact, I had nearly jinxed it. I was like, ooh, I think it's actually going on. We made it through to about 45 minutes and then we're like, ugh. And then you were like, I don't think it's crashed. And it hadn't. It just paused for some reason. I clicked play and it carried on going. So, I don't know if it's because I used my phone this time rather than I used my phone and then casted it to the TV rather than using the laptop, but I know next time I'm definitely doing it from my phone if that's how that works. But yeah, so that's going to make wrestling far more enjoyable if you don't have to stop every 15 minutes. And we had no problems with connectivity. The last few ones we've done, we've had to watch it in like 6 or 7 different little bits just to try and get it together. We watched this without interruption, really. We stopped because we chose to stop at the end of day one, but that was pretty much it. All right, tell us about this one.
So before the match, Bobby brags about his bodybuilding award, and I love the clothesline STO that Chet did, and
Chet,
and he did. It was like a clothesline with a half flip, so they land on the stomach. And the commentator is complaining about closed fists that Bobby does, and Bobby does a torture rack, and Bobby wins Chet failed a sunset flip and a tight pull.
Sounds like you're making his name a little French. Chet Sterling. Yeah, I don't have anything else for this one at all. But yeah, that figure, it kind of reminded me of like a little Oscar. I've never seen him really carry that one around before. But I thought it fits in with his body thing when he does his pose and that. So I thought that was a good use for that. We might have Heel Cat on here because I can hear her. I don't know what she's doing. It sounds like she's snoring, but she's fully awake and rolling around. So we might have her on background noise possibly. All right, match four was the Texas Tornado Tag Team match. It was Storms of Entrails versus Sandwich Squad. This match is all wrestlers involved are allowed in the ring at the same time, and thus all wrestlers are vulnerable to having a fall scored against them at any time. I kind of like that. I think that's a much better way of wrestling, actually. And it normally breaks into that anyway, so you might as well just do that from the start. So Storms of Entrail are Dan O'Hare and Schlack, with Riley Madison, and the Sandwich Squad are Aaron Biggs and Mecha Mercenary. And yeah, this one stuck out to me when I actually looked along the card, because I'd literally just watched an interview with Riley Madison on the No Holds Barred radio network. So I was like, oh, another time when I watched it, I didn't really know who Riley Madison was. So having seen that, it kind of added a little bit more to me for this match. All right, take it away. I'm sure I only got one comment. I'm sure you're going to mention it.
So Aaron Biggs was sweating before the match even started. And there was not much wrestling at the start. It was just a huge brawl. Dan barely caught Slack when he was doing a dive off the top rope onto the outside, and it was almost a Montez Ford moment. And Aaron jumps off the apron onto Slack and Dan O'Hare. Riley gets in Mecha Mercenary's way when he was about to do a suicide dive, which I can't see him doing a suicide dive.
No,
he's a big guy.
We're surprised when it happens, but yeah, I didn't see that one happen either.
It almost reminded me of when Otis was going to do a suicide dive in Extreme Rules when we went. Riley does a chair tap to Mecha Mercenary. It wasn't even, she was like, it, she, I think. She
well,
was
I know what you're talking about, but you're going to have to, it was supposed to be a chair shot, but it was.
But it was just a chair tap.
I put it was the weakest chair shot ever. And it did make sense anyway, because this match was no DQ, I thought.
I don't think so.
They said on commentary there's no DQ. So, I don't know. I guess my comment was at the time, I didn't even realize that applied to Texas Tornado matches, but
yeah.
Hey.
So, Slack wins with a DDT onto the chair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, match five is Eric Royal and David Starr. Now, as soon as I saw David Starr was on this one, I did contact Ryan from the Blade Job again at Nishguy. And at the very end, after we've gone through the credits at the end, there's going to be a 10-minute segment where I talk to Ryan about some of the work that David Starr does and also his actual wrestling matches that he's seen him in, because I knew he'd talked about him before at Beyond. The one thing that I wanted to know more than anything was his Twitter handle is @theproductDS. I had no idea why it was The Product. I couldn't think. I was trying to think of puns, couldn't think of anything. Anyway, his Twitter actually is... pinned tweet or his description says he's @theproductDS, follow pro wrestler, co-founder of We The Indie, and then it's a link to how you get his merch. And then I went to go look for find it. One question I did manage to find was, somebody interviewed him and asked, many people reading this will know you from The Juicy Product, a team that you used to be a part of with JT Dunn, where you basically won nearly every tag team title on the indies. The rest of the question is kind of unimportant, I'm guessing. I'm going to guess that's where he got it from, The Juicy Product. Product, David Starr. So I hadn't realized that before. So he said, I love my time as Juicy Product. We accomplished a lot in a very short time. We had many personal differences and it caused a split. I'm very happy where I am and where I'm going. But yeah, I've only seen him as a singles wrestler before, so I didn't know that either. His pin post was actually from March 12th. A lot of big events are getting cancelled due to #coronavirus. This is understandable as health and safety is a top priority. Many workers will be missing out on paydays they were depending on. Make sure you support your favourite entertainers on their respective merch stores. This is before we'd even broke up, actually.
Huh.
So he was kind of ahead of the game on this one. He kind of knew that one. And the last post I saw from 2 days before we recorded, so 3 days on the day this comes out. Solidarity with the marvelous @Lufisto. Find out more about this marvelous wrestler when she spoke with @SugarDunkerton here. And that's on the We The Indies podcast. So that's a podcast I've talked about multiple times now. And Lufisto is somebody I'm very interested in as well. So I'll definitely be checking that one out.
I didn't really know who David Starr was, so I just looked him up real quick. He has 17 nicknames.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I saw some of his titles that he had. I'm actually working on a different computer. I've been working on like three different computers for this. I had my original one, and then I kind of borrowed yours, and then now my new one arrived. I had at one point all the different titles that he'd won as well, and they're all around the world. So, yeah, he is very prolific, that's for sure.
And Eric does his yay yay, and David unenthusiastically says yeah yeah. And David starts a no-no chant and versus Eric's yay-yay chant, and they both walk into the back for a minute. Then Eric takes David's no-no chant, and David, Star, and Thunder Rosa, if they were a tag team, they should be called Starstruck, because when you have Thunder, then you have Lightning, and then Struck, and then Starstruck.
What's that?
What? You don't
Oh, okay. Yeah, kind of.
Eric is off the
top. 2 out of 10.
Eric, he's off the apron onto David on the outside. Eric gets clotheslined on the apron. Then three suicide dives by David, and Eric wins and keeps a 1 year undefeated streak.
Yeah, very, very impressive. He only missed one event. We don't know why he missed that one event, but yeah, I think he was like 10-0 for the year or something, which is pretty incredible. And some of the people he faced as well, I'm going to say David Starr's a big wrestler. Dijakovic was certainly a big star as well. They weren't like giving him squash matches or anything like that. So that was kind of impressive from that. And the thing I liked particularly at the end was as well, David Starr kind of acknowledged Eric, but Eric made a big point of raising David Starr's hand as well and pointed to him a couple of times, acknowledging the fact that he led to what was a really good match. All right, match six is a six-man tag team match. Frankie Picard, Rayo, and Sage Phillips against the Dixon line, which is Joe Keyes and Ken Dixon and Reed Bentley. Now, for those of you who are disappointed, because we just had the Eric Royal match, and we know it gets mentioned once every podcast, Mason, I did write it down. You actually asked, I wonder if Frankie Picard likes Star Trek. And I think my comment was, that's his Space Jam. I don't know if he likes Star Trek, but seeing as I got to get that mentioned somewhere.
This one actually makes sense.
Yeah, it would make sense for this one.
His last name is Picard, and then he has Captain Picard.
I totally understand. I knew where you were going with it. I kind of rolled my eyes when you said it. And I was about to say that's probably one of the space films that he likes, and then suddenly I was like, oh, I got to get that Space Jam in there somewhere. Now, Frankie Picard, we've talked about before. I actually found a few more things about him because I didn't actually know. On March 30th, there's a tweet. The celebrity boxing, hashtag American champion, at Frankie Picard, speaks about time in the boxing world. And a show with Mike Davis. So I didn't realize that. So I knew he was a mixed martial artist. We obviously know he's a wrestler as well. He's doing celebrity boxing as well. So he's got quite a few things that he does on that. Also, it mentioned in that same tweet as well, because it said he's a Philadelphia police officer and a martial arts expert. So he's got a lot of cool stuff there. So I didn't know he was a police officer. I didn't know he was a boxer. We knew that he was a wrestler and a martial artist, which was pretty cool anyway. But yeah, add all those four together. That's, interesting guy. All right, go ahead, Mason.
So Sage took 30 seconds to lock in a 5-second octopus stretch, and I was wondering what's happening with Rayo and Money Green.
They were having arguments. They've been teaming together. They fell out, and
they tagged last.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they were kind of falling out, so perhaps that's part of it. I don't know.
Reed misses 4 punches, then finally hits Rayo with a huge one, and which was a ripcord punch. And Ken and Reed caught Rayo's suicide dive and dropped him on the apron. Rayo can't make the tag for a while, but finally tags Frankie. And I just realized they had barricades at that point, which they never do.
That was a good observation, because we noticed in the previous one, like, Eric got thrown into one, and you're kind of used to seeing them at regular events, but yeah, you don't see them at Nova. Somebody posted this recently, they're like, does anyone know where this is from? And someone's like, straight away, yeah, I can tell it's Nova Pro, because the tape between the traffic cones, like, there's no protection there at all. So yeah, I don't remember seeing those ever before at any of the previous ones, unless it was just like this. We didn't notice it until the sixth match. Perhaps they did have them at a couple of previous ones. So we'll have to see, but certainly by the time we went a year later, they were never there. I don't ever remember seeing barricades when we went.
Yeah.
So that'll be something to look out for. Was it a one-off, or what happened? I don't know.
And Rhea rolls up Reed for the win.
Now, I've got an embarrassing one here, Mason, so I'll share this with you. I didn't notice it until just now. I wrote something wrong. I actually put Riho instead of Rayo. So the AEW female wrestler. The reason I wrote it down was there was a knee strike by Rayo. And, oh my gosh, I'm going to ask you this one. Which move do you think hurts the most? Like, obviously, all moves hurt. Like, if you get superplexed, obviously, that's going to hurt. But it's to different degrees. Some things look like they don't hurt at all. Like a forearm, perhaps. You can kind of stage those a little bit so it doesn't hurt as much. Or probably Orange Cassidy's kicks hurt the least. Which move do you actually think hurts the most? Because to me, knee strike, I saw him get a knee to the chin. Like, if you're a boxer, like we saw Frankie Picard was earlier, you get hit on the chin, that can be end of match straight away. Some of those knee strikes they actually do to the chin, it's even further. I don't know how they can take those at all. Sometimes, you know, when you get hit by a chair, they put their hands to their head so it hits their hands rather than their head. You can protect yourself. I don't think they protect themselves on those knee shots to the chin. All right, that's mine I'm going for. What do you think?
There was one. Oh, the coup de grace.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I don't. And that happens in one of the later matches as well. Yeah, the coup de grace, I think. Even Finn Balor's fairly light, but even so, I would think landing on somebody. And he makes that even more impressive because he jumps up, raises his knees and then puts his feet. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, coup de grace is a great choice for that one.
I think Matt can also, he can talk from this when we did the double top, double tap challenge.
The knees to the back.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you that story. Alexa Bliss did that in one of her matches recently. And he actually referenced that when you actually did that. He's like, I can talk from experience. That really hurts.
Yeah, so. I can also talk from experience that the figure four leg lock hurts.
You said that, yeah. Do you want to tell a story?
So what we were doing, we were just... So when we were in wrestling practice, he said, like, practice a new move that you learned at home. And this kid said he learned this wrestling move, and I wanted to see what it was. And he did the figure four on me, and I was like, ow, that hurts.
Tapped out straight away.
No, I didn't tap out straight away because I rolled over,
uh-huh.
and he didn't know that. And it really puts a lot of pressure on the knee.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing that hurts.
Well, the thing I'm curious about, isn't that the one where if you roll over onto your stomach, though, it reverses the pressure, supposedly?
Yeah.
Is that true?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I can't see how that would work, but anyway. All right, match 7, singles match. It was Brittany Blake against Jade, and we were kind of confused about Jade, but we actually talked about it in the last one. It was actually Mia Yim. Now, I saw this, Mason, and I never realized what this was, so I'm going to see if you know, and it was just me. So, Mia Yim's referred to as the HBIC. I've seen that multiple times, never knew what it stood for. Any ideas?
No, but I could probably think of it in 5 minutes. I could probably think of something.
You can have a guess. HBIC. There's a British TV show called Mock the Week, and they actually put up a headline and they give them the initials and they have to try and guess what it is. And they normally come up with comedy ones first, and then somebody normally gives the correct answer second. So, all right. So here's your language arts assignment for the week.
Hurricane Rana.
You backed yourself into a corner after one word.
Yeah. Oh gosh, this is actually really hard.
They're not the best of letters, some of them. They don't really go together that well.
Hard, bicycle, no. I was about to say bicycle kick, but that's two words.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
Bicycle, insiguri,
A word beginning with C.
Corona.
Head, baddie,
hard.
In charge.
Head baddie in charge.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't think I ever knew that. I think it was like that Nick Gage one as well, because he has all those initials as well.
Oh,
it was
MDK.
One, yeah, and after a while, you just kind of get used to hearing it without even thinking about it.
I only know his one that he did one off, the murder dino kill. That he did with
Terry Calloway. The murder death kill, yeah. But yeah, for some reason, I never really thought about HBIC until I saw this one. I did find this out about Mia Yim that I didn't know, and I'm mentioning this because we have a few listeners who are gamers as well. May 19th, Tuesday, 5 p.m, new video premiere on YouTube. YouTube.com/MiaYimOfficial. Subscribe so you get notified when it's up and live. Yes, this video also includes Jessamine Duke. So yeah, they're playing video games, they're recording them, like a few people do, but I knew Jessamine Duke actually did play games, because I actually mentioned it on Good Cop, Bad Cop the other week as well. So she actually does cameos, and she was one of the cheapest ones, it was like $12.
What?
Like, whoa, that's really cheap. And one of the cameos she did was like 5 minutes long. Some gaming podcaster asked her a question, and she just carried on talking for 5 minutes. I was like, whoa, that's really cool of her to do that. So I did know that she was into video games, but yeah, that might be something. All right, go ahead, Mason.
So Jade does a bow and an arrow, a bow and arrow submission move. The crowd is chanting, Mia, Mia. And Jade does a Samoan drop, but Brittany rolls through into a pin, and Jade wins with a backwards pile driver.
Wow, amazing. I only have three things written down, and you didn't say any of them at all. I might have almost have more than you said. One thing I really miss, actually, from her NXT matches now, she's obviously on there, I miss not seeing her hug her mom at the start. Because she went around the site, because you were like, oh, there's her mom, and she gave her a big hug. And that was always one of the big things when we were at Nova Pro. I love Brittany Blake's submission attempt, though. It didn't work. I don't know what it's called, but it looks really cool. And it looks really painful. It looked like Brittany Blake could easily win from this one. And at the very end of the match, Brittany Blake was actually on the floor, and Mia kept ring. Even though she was on the far side of the ring, Mia went back to her, because she was kind of like raise her hand or whatever. And she actually picked her up and just carried her all the way to the back. That was a long way to the back. You had to walk all the way around the ring, and then there's a big distance to there as well. All right, so I'm glad I did write those three things down. I was like, you're bound to have those.
I thought of another painful move.
Okay.
Nia Jax punching you.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. All right, match, a relaxed rules match. I have no idea what this is, because these two are deathmatch fighters, or certainly Matt Tremont is. Tim Donst can certainly go hardcore as well when he needs to. Not many posts from Matt Tremont at all. He only had one post for 2020, because I was trying to do an update rather than go over his whole career again. The one thing I did see, though, this is from the last post in 2020. This was December. The Integral Show and first match of Off-G Wrestling, which is actually Off-Grid Wrestling, featured a Taipei death match between Chris Walter and Matt Tremont today. And the Taipei death match is a variation of a hardcore-style professional wrestling match where the combatants' fists are taped and dipped into glue and crushed glass, allowing shards to stick to their fists. I know you like different death matches. Oh, you're pulling a face on that one. I thought you would like this one. Now, this is taken from something called Bugle Fan... I think that's the idea. From BugleFandom.com. So I read you the first part. The next part, though, says, on November 1st, 2008, to promote their upcoming election, future United States President Barack Obama defeated fellow candidate John McCain in a Taipei death match at the Elks Lodge number 0060 in Elmwood Park, New Jersey. There's no way that's true. So I don't know how accurate the first part is as well. That match I talked about, though, with Matt Tremont, though, is available on YouTube. And actually, when I clicked on it just to see how kind of long it was, there was a link immediately to Matt Tremont's debut as well. So I have the links written down here. So after we've recorded, if you want to see either of those two matches, we can watch those ones. I'd kind of like to watch the John McCain Barack Obama one, but I don't think that's going to happen. All right. Did we figure out what relaxed rules was?
I think it's so they have the rules and then they just relax them so there aren't rules.
So it's just no DQ then?
Yeah.
So what's the point of it? It's just a no rules match.
Yeah.
I couldn't find out what was kind of not allowed and what, I don't know. All right, go ahead.
So I made an observation. A lot of deathmatch wrestlers wear a bandana, like Matt Tremont, Nick Gage, Mance Warner, LAX, and I think Brandon Day has to interfere, right?
I guess so, but actually he wasn't at this event though, so I think if he'd been in another match he probably would have done, because of the previous two matches him and Tim Donst have been going at it back and forth.
They had that big brawl, like,
yeah, but he wasn't actually at this match. Event though, so then I don't think I'm going to bring him in just to do that, but I'm sure if he had had a different match then I would agree with you. I think that would have been
fully legal.
I think that would have been a good continuity story for sure.
Matt says, I came here for violence and I'm going to get a chair. Tim throws a full trash can at Matt, and then there's trash everywhere. And Tim throws about 20 chairs at Matt provided by the fans. Tim does the ace crusher on the chair for only a 2 count. And Matt challenges Tim to a slap fight, and Matt wins by slapping Tim so his chair fell backwards. And with Tim on it, Matt sends Tim face first into the chair in a Death Valley driver. Pile onto a pile of chairs, but still kicks at it too. Donst does a Donstitution off the middle rope onto 6 setup chairs, but Max kicks out of it, but loses when he got suplexed on the pile of chairs straight after.
There was chance from this match of that was awesome at the end, and it was, except I hated the finish. He should not have kicked out of the Donstitution, as far as I'm concerned. That was a great finisher. We were like, whoa! And then he was like, kicked out at two. And then it was just a suplex. I'm like, ugh. I didn't like that finish at all. If he did not kicked out of the Donstitution, I really enjoyed this whole match. For me, that just put a little bit of a dampener at the end of it. Now, Tim Donst is actually on a promo competition right now with Flying V. I can't remember the name of the podcast. I've actually forgot to download these. They do one every week now, Flying V. I think it's episodes 3, 4, 5, 6. Might be 7, actually. I'm trying to think how it would work. I think there might be like 3 first-round matches, a semi-final, and a final. And basically cutting promos. And I'm sure they're going to interview them at the same time as well. So I know I need to check that out as well. All right, match 9, the main event, steel cage match. Sonjay Dutt and Logan Easton LaRoe. Go ahead. We've talked about these. These guys are always been at Nova Pro, so we don't need to talk any more about those.
So Sonjay kicks Bobby before the match while they're in the steel cage because for some reason Bobby went in there with Logan. And Sonjay, Logan threw Sonjay out to the Reason to hold him. And Sonjay dodges Logan, so he spears the Reason. Logan climbs to the top of the cage and John makes Logan slip so the cage...
You're not going to mention who John is?
John Kerman.
It was 3-on-1 to begin with, and then actually all the people from the back started to come out to make it the numbers even a little bit. So John Kerman, I think Chet Sterling also came out at this
point. So Logan slipped, so the cage hit his dingo, and Chet Sterling helps out Sonjay and jumps off the cage and takes out everyone. Then the Sandwich Squad helps Sonjay for a 5-3 Sonjay advantage. And finally, Logan and Sonjay get in the cage alone so the ref can start the match. So there was many suplexes, and the commentator said Fairfax is now Suplex City. So Logan, after that, he does a subprimal mortgage. Logan attempts to tie Sonjay to the cage, but Sonjay does a reverse Frankensteiner off the top, then a top rope splash, and Logan still kicks out. Sonjay brings in a longer cord. When he's on the top of the cage, Logan chokes him with the cord. And while still getting choked, Logan does a double stomp off the top rope. And then Logan brings out thumbtacks on the floor. Logan gets tied to the cage. Then Sonjay starts throwing handfuls of thumbtacks at Logan's face.
I thought he said snacks to begin with. We actually had to stop for about 6 minutes to go. Because everyone was going for a walk. And we're like, that's fine. We'll watch the last 6 minutes when we came back. And then for some reason, it didn't remember the exact place. So I was trying to find it. I was like, I think we got like 6 minutes to go. And it went to the wrong spot. And I thought he said he was throwing snacks. Like, I thought it was like the trash can. And I was like, oh, it must just be like bits of food. But yeah, a thumbtack to the eye would be, that would be really bad. I agree.
I can't even imagine.
I shouldn't have even brought that up.
So, that's what the commentators brought up. They talked about that too. The ref cuts the cable tying Logan to the cage, but Logan wins with an ace crusher onto the thumbtacks.
All right. Now, they actually said, one of them said, this is the first sensible thing a ref's ever done. I didn't like it at all. I didn't understand that. Like, it was a no DQ match, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, it would have made sense if Bobby would have gave it to Logan.
I would have thought that as well. If Bobby would have done it, I would have had no problem with it. But yeah, I can't remember who brought it. I don't know if it was Brian who gave it to the ref, but somebody passed him the scissors through. Yeah, I didn't like that side of it at all. I did like the chants as well. Let's go, Sonjay. Logan sucks. Let's go. The whole crowd was totally behind Sonjay Dutt for this one, as the face, which is not particularly surprising, but it was good. I can't get enough of Sonjay Dutt. The Nova Project 2, we were totally in awe just when we actually saw him there, because we didn't know he was going to be there. And from watching Impact at that time, we were just like, we couldn't even talk to him for that first time. We kind of walked by his table. The Tornado DDT, the Reverse Frankensteiner, the Moonsault Double Stomp, which is like a backflip into a coup de grace. That was the thing. I was like, oh my gosh. He's so good to watch. I never get tired of watching Sonjay Dutt's matches. And it was really good. I posted it on Twitter, and Logan actually retweeted it and mentioned the fact this is one of my favorite matches I was in. And you could see why. Everyone had their moments in it. It had the crowd on their feet. You could see at one point, because you got the camera right behind, you could see people were stood up. Once those thumbtacks came out, everyone was like stood up trying to see exactly what was going on. I love this match. For me, this was I think this was definitely the match of the whole event, as far as I'm concerned. I've got to say, overall, though, this was probably my least favorite Nova Pro event. There was parts of the first five matches where I was like, it's okay. Like, they were okay. There's characters, there's like, there's wrestlers that we like to see, but there wasn't as many matches where I was really glued to it and was like, oh, this is like a really good... I don't know. It just, for a show that was supposed to be the 1 year anniversary, I was really hyped for this one. I was like, oh, they're going to bring out all the big guns for this one. And yeah, they brought out some of the big guns, but some of the matches just didn't click as well as some of the ones I'd seen earlier, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was a bad pay-per-view, but it wasn't as good as I thought. And I think the other thing that built it up for me as well, that first Nova Project that we went to, Nova Project 3, was absolutely amazing. I just remember like, oh my gosh, that was our introduction to independent wrestling. And I was like, I'm in love already. I'm like, this is amazing. I can't wait to come back in a month's time. And this just did not feel anywhere close to that level at all. So, all right, anything to add on to this one?
I think I used to think that the chokeslam was a really painful move until I saw the other hand that was lifting him up.
Yeah. So. Oh, if he lifted him just by your neck, that would be really bad. Yeah,
and that would...
All right, don't forget to stay after as well. After the credits, we've got our 10-minute talk with Ryan from The Blade Job. And we'll be talking about David Starr. And you can find out a little bit more about that. All right, I think we're done then, right?
Boom. I did it before you could. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye!
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.
All right, once again, we've got Ryan from the Blade Job Show again to help us out with some couple of wrestlers who featured in this Nova Pro event that we know that he knows more about than we do. So rather than scour the internet, we'll talk to the main man himself. Ryan, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm surviving. That's all we can ever do these days.
David Starr appeared at this event. It was the 1 year anniversary, and he had his match against Arik Royal, who was undefeated at this point, and actually, as this is going to come at the end, remained undefeated for the first year. Now, I actually tried contacting, I know David Starr, I know you've talked about him before on Beyond. I don't know him as well. I know him more through the We the Indie podcast. And I tried looking up some stuff on there. I actually contacted them. I was like, hey, is there like an information sheet you guys have got? We're going to be featuring David Starr in like a month's time. We just want to give out some information about what your organization is. Never got a response from them. So I was like, okay, all right, fair enough. My understanding is, and you know, say so you can jump in as well on this, they help people, basically, as there's not as many rights as wrestlers, they don't sign contracts, not everything's the same. They're trying to get them, I guess, unionized kind of a little bit. I know they've tried to help with, and I didn't know some of the behind-the-scenes stuff at all, like not even guaranteed a bottle of water if you're at a wrestling match, not guaranteed food, not guaranteed sort of basic services at all. So I know they're trying to help with things like that. I guess that would be a good starting point. What do we know about that side of David Starr? Perhaps the political side, I guess.
To be honest, what I know is what I see on Twitter and what I see in interviews, and the, you know, the public face that is David Starr in the fight for you. I get it, and I agree with it for the most part. From what I can tell, is that's pretty much what you said is pretty much what he's trying to do. Is he's trying to get there to be a union for professional wrestlers, so they are guaranteed basic amenities no matter where they are.
All right, let's get to the wrestling side of this. I don't, like I said, I do not know David Starr very well, which was why straight away my first thought was you. I know I saw him at one of the American Rana events. I do not remember which. What can you tell us about the wrestling career of David Starr? I looked quickly on Cage Match. I saw a ton of titles, so I was like, woof, I didn't realize that he was quite as well-traveled as that either.
So I think, strictly from a wrestling standpoint, I think that David Starr might be one of the most talented guys out there because he can do everything. I've seen him in very technical matches. I've seen him in death matches. I mean, the guy can do just about anything, and he can do everything well. He's not one of those guys that does everything, but he's kind of mediocre at everything. He hits the ring, and from the minute he hits the ring, there's just something about him, whether he's a heel or whether he's a face, he captivates the audience. And I think, you know, in ring is very important, but your presence and your persona is also equally as important in what at the end of the day boils down to a performance art. The first time I remember seeing David Starr was, I remember the show. The show was XWA Crossroads, called Crossroads because it was right after Cody had come back to the Indies and he was the main event. He wrestled Tommaso Ciampa at Ciampa's last independent event before he officially signed full-time with NXT, so that was great. But nice. David Starr was there, and I didn't really know who he was. Like, the name sounded familiar, but I didn't really know who he was. And within, I don't even remember who he wrestled, because I saw him, I want to say he actually wrestled Mike Bennett, but I could be wrong. But I was just captivated by him. He wasn't a dastardly heel. He was a pretentious heel. He spent half of the match sitting on the apron, refusing to wrestle, and just complaining. And at first I was like, this is boring. Like, I don't, like, what is this? And within a couple minutes, I just went, this guy's really, really good at what he does, because I hated him.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I'm supposed to hate him. And I'm not the kind of person, you know, heel, face, it doesn't matter to me. If I like you as a wrestler, I like you as a wrestler. I'll boo you just because I'm supposed to boo you, because that's part of the entertainment is, you know, I do hate when everyone just cheers the heel. It doesn't work. It's stupid. Even if you like them, boo them anyways, because that's what you're supposed to do. And I realized that this guy made me hate him without ever, I don't know, it was just weird. And I grew to like him immediately. And then when I started going to Beyond shows, he was just starting his feud with Joey Janela, which lasted for like 2 years. Once again, like, he's a guy where if he wants to have a on-the-mat technical wrestling match, no problem. He could go toe-to-toe with Jonathan Gresham and Zack Sabre Jr. any day of the week. You want to see him, you want to take down the rope, string up some barbed wire, he'll do it. And he'll do it well. And he'll do it believably. And I think he's very, very versatile as a performer. And the first episode of Uncharted Territory for Beyond, he wrestled ECW legend Masato Tanaka. And I'm thinking, Tanaka's getting kind of old. He's kind of beat up. I'm not expecting much out of this match. They both brought the best out of each other. I mean, it was a hard-hitting, technical, just awesome match. And I think that's what David Starr does. I think David Starr gets in the ring, and he's very much like Kevin Owens, where it doesn't matter who's in the ring with him. He will put on a good match. I always point towards when Kevin Owens debuted main roster. John Cena was at the lowest of the low in the fans' eyes. and Kevin Owens and John Cena put on 5-star matches for months. And every match was different. And that's what I see when I see David Starr. David Starr and Joey Janela put on clinics of matches every time they got in the ring. And this is David Starr, the, you know, just wrestling god that he is. And really what comes down to a slightly out of shape drunk guy. And they put on the best feud I've ever seen in professional wrestling. I understand why David Starr isn't signing with anyone, because he doesn't have to. Because he can go to the indies and he can make WWE money just by wrestling on the indies, because he's that damn good. I don't know. On the personal side of things, the guy doesn't necessarily... He kind of shoots himself in the foot sometimes. I feel like he says some things that aren't necessarily beneficial to his cause. But, you know, what he is doing is good. And I hope he's bringing more insight and more light to the plight of professional wrestlers, especially on the independent scale. I just think he could go about it in a better way.
That match that you talked about, I remember, and like I said, I've not seen many matches. I might have probably only seen 3-4 matches. I remember that match, the one with Joey Janela, and it was like, whoa. And that was why this kind of stood out to me. I was like, oh, David Starr's on the card again. This is a big name. But the impression he made just from that one match. I know I've seen him at... I don't know if I've seen him live. I know he was at an Nova Pro event that was around Christmas time, so we had to watch that one on IWTV, so I don't remember that one as well. I tend not to remember the ones when I'm not there in person as well. And then when I saw this match against Eric Royal, I was like, that's a big matchup for Nova Pro on their one-year anniversary. And the thing that stood out for me more than anything was the appreciation that Eric Royal showed to him at the end of the match. He made a big deal of going in, and of course David Starr raises his hand, points at him, and he points straight back at him, and he's like, nah, this guy made this match right here. And I think that's the thing that's impressive, the fact that this, I think Eric Royal is a much bigger wrestler in terms of size, and the fact that he could wrestle the bigger guy and still put on a show. And like you said, he has many facets to his wrestling ability, and I think that was probably what impressed me the most, having seen him in this match for this review. Tell everybody where we can find you on social media.
You can find me on Mixer, where we do all the game streaming, at mixer.com/nishguy, and you can find me on Twitter at nishguy, where it's where I talk about a lot of wrestling and nonsense and gaming and just general watch everyone burn each other down because nobody can be nice to each other.
That's pretty much it. All right. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Oh, anytime.